97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good Wednesday morning. Welcome in. It's the 7th day of January. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. That's Ethan sitting over there. Kim St. Ange just down the desk here from us, and Sue Thomas with your traffic. So glad to have you on this momentous day in the state of Missouri, because it's when the Missouri legislative session gets back underway. And this caught my attention this week as I was perusing the social media. It was this statement. The Missouri State Senate session starts on Wednesday, and tension and dysfunction expected again. How about that? Same thing over and over again, the definition of insanity, right? That was from my friend David Wassinger, the lieutenant governor of the state of Missouri, and we've got him on the air this morning. Mr. Lieutenant Governor, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark, I'm doing great. Happy New Year. We're off to a good start. Beautiful weather, and better than this time last year when I was about ready to get sworn in as lieutenant governor. So I've been in office for a little less than a year, so it's good. We're going to gavel in the Senate at noon today and let the fireworks start.
Yeah, that's true. I was down there. It was freezing that day of the inauguration last year, for sure. But it's great to have you on. And yeah, I noticed your post here. You're expecting the same thing, the same dysfunctionality again, because we know the lobbyists and the special interests have been working hard all year long to oppose any change, right?
That's correct. You know, this is, it's fondly referred to as most Missourians as the Jefferson City Swamp. And I think that's a apt description of this place. You know, big part of the problem, Mark, is I can sit there and I've had a front row view over the last year. So my perception that the place is dysfunctional, and I think most people think the place is dysfunctional. It is dysfunctional. I watched it. And a big part of the problem is the lack of transparency that we have in Missouri Senate. So the Missouri House side is actually televised. You have a live stream. We are one of two states that does not have a live video of floor proceedings. So all this is done under the cloak of darkness, where all this dysfunction, all the acrimony, all the insanity that takes place on the Senate floor, none of that is our great Missourians can see it. If they saw what was taking place on the Senate floor over the course of this legislative session, they'd be fit to be tied. We are one of two states that do not provide a live video of floor proceedings. 43 of 50 states archive the proceedings on a website. 44 of 50 states provide live video of committee work. 25 states, provide live streams on public television. Missouri is the only one to go 0 for 5 in these measures. It may be the most least transparent upper chamber in the country by objective neutral standards by the National Conference of State Legislatures. So the swamp are the lobbyists, the career politicians, the special interests. They do all this stuff under the cloak of darkness so the Missourians can't see what's taking place in the Missouri Senate. So it just happens over and over again. The same old routine. They don't want change in Jefferson City, and they don't want Missourians to see what's taking place on the Senate floor so the Missourians can call for the change that's needed.
And I laugh, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, because they don't like to be told that either. They don't like it to be pointed out. You went to the Senate floor last year. You pointed out some of these things that needed to be changed, and you took a lot of grief for that.
Absolutely. The swamp fights back. These people are vicious. They do not want change. The lobbyists, special interest, and career politicians. I feel a little like the guy. Have you ever seen the movie Caddyshack with Rodney Dangerfield?
Of course.
Where he breaks into the country club and all the people, the waiters love him, the groundskeepers love him, but the actual people in the club themselves stick their nose up at him and,
yes,
and think he's a rube. That's how I feel. You come in, you may have more common sense. You may have be more successful. So I'm a little like the guy in Caddyshack, where I come in where the people in the bottom of the Capitol, the garage, people working in the garage, the Capitol Police, the doormen that are actually working for a living. Those people absolutely love me, but, the lobbyists and special interests, I don't know if they like me much.
Lots of Ted Knight clones down there, apparently, from what you're describing.
That's a very apt description.
And I think the average Missourian sits here, especially on the first day of the session, and thinks, wow, we have, 5 months? We're one of the longest time periods that a state legislature is in session. And we think, property taxes and all these things are going to get done. And then it comes to an end and we're thinking, none of that got done. I mean, what do you feasibly think will actually could get accomplished this session?
Well, here's what's accomplished. And this is no particular senator. So this goes on for far too long, 5 months. So they will have a spring break in March. All right. So the first from now until spring break, they'll be going out partying with the lobbyists and special interests for the first 2.5 months. I don't know if one bill will get passed between now and spring break. So this could be shortened to, as most states have, to 2 to 2.5 months. So that partying with the lobbyists and special interests will take place for the first up until spring break. They will then be after spring break, you know, they'll decide, you know, we need to start getting dialed in and start having hearings. My guess is probably the final 2 weeks, you know, they'll start looking at this, and then a lot of activity will take place. And we'll see, you know, that's when the fireworks. But here are the first couple of weeks. I think the Democrats are still very upset about the redistricting issue. So I think they're going to, you know, waste a lot of time on the Senate floor, which, I wish was televised. You could see what I have to deal with when I'm up on the Senate dais watching this stuff.
Yeah, it's true. Now, you've had a fairly good relationship with Governor Kehoe, it appears. He is pushing hard to eliminate the state income tax, and he, even though I haven't been able to get him on the air to talk about it, I'm guessing he'll unveil some more in his State of the State address next week. Is that realistic, and is it something you think the legislature can get done?
I do. So I had a call with me and the state with Governor Kehoe yesterday, or a lengthy telephone call yesterday morning. I was with Governor Kehoe last night. He's going to broach those topics of the State of the State address, and that would include, I don't think it's any secret, addressing the income tax. You know, a lot of the questions become, you know, how is that revenue going to be replaced? He asked me and the other statewide kind of keep a lid on it until the State of the State, but he will be addressing that on Tuesday. And again, that's another body. I'll be presiding over the State of the State address that will take place. I think it's at 3 o'clock on Tuesday. He'll reveal that. The budget will be unveiled at that time, but he will be addressing the issues relating to the state income tax.
Well, there are challenges, right? If you know, I had State Representative Richard West on earlier, and he said, as a representative of the people, we were talking about the personal property tax. I see it as one of my duties is to reduce taxes where I can, and not worry so much about levying new ones. But the budget is going to be impacted if we change the way we fund the government, because that's basically what you're talking about here, right?
Correct. And the other thing that we're dealing with, you know, timing's everything sometimes in politics. You know, the prior governor, he had all this COVID money, or the prior governor of every state. You know, they were finding money, way to spend it. I think 2022 to now, there was the Missouri budget increased by over $10 billion. There were over 3,400 line items added to the Missouri budget over the last 4 or 5 years.
Lots to
and
cut, in other
large
words.
Part because of that COVID money. So there, you know, there's a lot of ways to find a guy to put, you know, find some cuts. So there were a lot of additional line items added over the last. You know, these guys were spending money. I've seen these budgets. You wouldn't believe the way the legislature was spending money over the last 3 or 4 years. Insane.
Well, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, as the year rolls on here and we start focusing more and more on this Amendment 3, I know how involved you are in the issue of the right to life, and I'd love to have you on again to talk about that campaign.
Always a pleasure. I can't thank you enough, Mark and Kim. Congratulations on the new baby, Kim.
Thank you.
Happy New Year. That's a great way to spend the new year, too.
So,
I bet that was a fun Christmas.
It sure was.
All right, thanks. And watch me at noon. We'll be gaveling in the Senate.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll see you then. Thank you very much. Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger there. So I guess the House goes in at 10 this morning. The Senate comes in at noon, and the Lieutenant Governor will be up there with the gavel. Good to get that point of view from him this morning. Coming up, we'll talk to our friend Mary Vogt. She's VP of Strategic Comms down at Heritage. We'll get her thoughts on the outrage over this Maduro situation, among other things. And then we've got State Senator Nick Schroer, who, of course, leads the Freedom Caucus down there in the state House. And I'm anxious to see what he thinks he might get accomplished this session. Back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.